Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive?
Definitely. Always up for a good legal puzzle.
Well, today's case takes us back to the post-Civil War South, a time of supposed rebuilding, but also a time when new forms of control, especially for Black people, emerged.
Yeah, it's a period often overlooked, but critically important to understanding how racial and economic inequalities persisted after slavery was abolished.
Exactly. And one of the ways this control manifested was through things like Black codes.
Oh, absolutely. These codes were essentially sets of laws passed by Southern states that were designed to restrict the freedoms of Black people and keep them in a state of economic dependence.
It's almost like they were trying to recreate slavery in a new form.
In a way, yeah. It was a system designed to exploit their labor and maintain the existing power structure.
And one of the key mechanisms of this system was peonage. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Peonage was essentially debt bondage. People would be trapped in labor because of debts they owed, and often these debts were manipulated or even fabricated to keep them tied to their employers.
It's a pretty horrifying thought that even after slavery was outlawed, people were still being forced into labor through these deceptive means.
And that brings us to our case today, Bailey v. Alabama, a landmark Supreme Court decision that really gets to the heart of this issue of coerced labor.
So give us the rundown. Who is Alonzo Bailey and what landed him in court?
Okay, so Alonzo Gailey was a Black man living in Alabama in the early 1900s. He signed a year-long labor contract with a company, and as was common practice at the time, he received a $15 advance. Now, $15 back then was a decent chunk of change.
Yeah, definitely not something you'd want to just walk away from.
Right. But after just a month on the job, Bailey left. And this wasn't unusual. Labor conditions were often harsh, and people moved around a lot looking for better opportunities.
Makes sense. So why was this a big deal?
Oh, Alabama had a law on the books that said if you didn't finish your contract or repay the advance, it was prima facie evidence of intent to defraud.
Hold on, prima facie. Can you break that down for us non-legal folks?
Sure, it basically means that you're assumed guilty until proven innocent. Just the fact that you left the job and didn't repay the advance was enough to convict you, even if there were other circumstances at play.
So they were basically assuming that anyone who left their job before the contract ended was trying to cheat their employer.
Pretty much. It was a way to criminalize breach of contract, turning what would normally be a civil dispute into a criminal offense.
And I'm guessing this law was disproportionately used against Black workers.
Oh, absolutely. It was a tool to control Black labor, plain and simple.
So what happened to Bailey? Did he actually get convicted under this law?
He did. He was convicted, fined $30, and sentenced to over 100 days of hard labor. Think about that. He was essentially being punished for quitting a job.
Wow. And this is where the Supreme Court steps in, right?
Exactly. This case went all the way up to the highest court in the land, and it had some major implications for how we understand labor rights even today.
It's getting interesting. Let's dive into the Supreme Court's decision and what it all means after a quick break. Okay, so we left off with Bailey being convicted under this Alabama law. What did the Supreme Court have to say about all of this?
Well, the Supreme Court, they overturned the Alabama law, finding it a violation of both the 13th and 14th Amendments.
Okay, the 13th Amendment, that's the one that abolished slavery, right?
Right.
But how did they connect that to Bailey's case? He wasn't enslaved, he was just working under a contract.
That's a good point, and it's really where this case gets interesting. The court made it clear that the 13th Amendment wasn't just about abolishing chattel slavery, the buying and selling of people. It went further than that. It prohibited any form of involuntary servitude.
So they were saying that forcing someone to work under threat of criminal charges, even if it stemmed from a contract, could be considered a form of involuntary servitude.
Exactly. The court recognized that this Alabama law created a situation where Black workers were essentially compelled to labor, not out of free will, but out of fear of being imprisoned.
So in a way, it was a way to bypass the 13th Amendment's ban on slavery by using the legal system to create this coercive labor system.
Precisely. And the court saw right through that. They were not going to allow states to undermine the spirit of the 13th Amendment with these sneaky legal maneuvers.
It's amazing how these cases can really expose the ways in which laws can be used to exploit and control people. But the court also found the Alabama law violated the 14th Amendment, right? What's the connection there?
Yeah, the 14th Amendment guarantees due process of law, meaning everyone is entitled to a fair trial. The court found that the Alabama law violated this right because it created this presumption of guilt. Remember prima facie evidence?
Yeah, the guilty until proven innocent thing.
Right. So the court said, hey, you can't just assume someone's guilty of fraud because they left a job. They need a chance to actually defend themselves, to present their side of the story.
It seems like a pretty basic concept of fairness, but it's clear that wasn't happening in Bailey's case. But I'm curious, was the court unanimous in its decision? Were there any dissenting opinions?
Well, it wasn't entirely unanimous. While all the justices agreed the law was unconstitutional, they had slightly different reasons for why.
Ah, okay, so there's some nuance there. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, Justice Hughes, he wrote the majority opinion and really emphasized how the law created this arbitrary presumption of guilt. Just because someone quits their job and doesn't repay in advance doesn't automatically mean they intended to defraud their employer. Life happens. People might have a family emergency, get sick. All sorts of things could happen.
Yeah, it's not always a malicious act. It could be circumstances beyond their control.
Exactly. And Justice Hughes recognized that. He also pointed out how this presumption essentially forced people into labor just to avoid going to jails, like stay in this potentially terrible job or risk being labeled a criminal and losing your freedom.
Yeah.
It's a pretty messed up choice, right?
Yeah, not much of a choice at all. It really undermines the whole idea of freedom of contract if you're constantly living under this threat of prosecution for simply wanting to leave a job.
Absolutely. And that's something that Justice Holmes, who wrote a concurring opinion, also grappled with. He agreed that the Alabama law was unconstitutional, but his reasoning was a bit different.
Oh, interesting. What was his perspective?
Well, he believed that criminalizing fraud in these types of cases could be acceptable, but only if the defendant, the person accused, had a genuine opportunity to prove they were innocent. In his view, the problem with the Alabama law wasn't the idea of criminalizing fraud itself, but the fact that it didn't allow for a fair defense. It stacked the deck against the worker from the start.
So even among the justices, there was this debate, this nuance about how far the law could go in regulating labor contracts without crossing the line into coercion and undermining basic fairness.
Exactly. And it highlights that these cases are often not just black and white. There are shades of gray, different perspectives, and that's what makes studying them so fascinating, don't you think?
I agree. It's those shades of gray where we can really start to unpack the complexity of these legal issues and how they play out in the real world.
And those nuances are really important when we start to think about how Bailey applies to today's labor issues. Because it's not just a historical curiosity, it's a living document that helps us analyze and challenge contemporary forms of labor exploitation.
Okay, so let's bring it home. How does a case from 1911 about a black man in Alabama connect to the problems we see today? Give us some concrete examples.
Well, think about the gig economy, for example.
Yeah.
You have all these platforms out there that classify workers as independent contractors,
yeah.
But often the way these companies operate, the control they exert over those workers, it starts to look a lot like an employment relationship, just without the legal protections that come with being an employee.
Right. You have these workers who are at the mercy of algorithms with very little recourse if they're treated unfairly or their wages are withheld.
That's exactly it. And, you know, if a gig worker is forced to accept unfair terms or face really severe consequences like being deactivated from the platform and essentially losing their livelihood, You could argue that's a form of economic coercion that really echoes those issues we saw in Bailey.
It's like it comes down to looking beyond just the labels and really examining those power dynamics at play. Is there genuine freedom to contract, or are these workers being backed into a corner where they have no real choice?
You hit the nail on the head, and that's where Bailey, I think, provides this framework for analysis. It reminds us that the 13th Amendment isn't just about physical force. You know, it's also about these more subtle forms of economic compulsion that can trap people in these exploitative situations.
It's almost like Bailey gives us a lens through which we can scrutinize these new economic models, these gig platforms, and really ask, are they truly offering opportunities, or are they just perpetuating new systems of control and exploitation?
That is a great way to put it. It challenges us to really question whether we're upholding the principles of freedom and fairness in the modern workplace, or if we're just replicating these old patterns of exploitation under a new guise.
It's fascinating how this case that dealt with such a specific historical context can have such broad implications for how we think about labor rights today.
It speaks volumes about the enduring power of legal precedent. These cases aren't just, you know, dusty old textbooks. They're living documents that can be adapted and applied to these new challenges, new forms of exploitation as they emerge.
That's why it's so important for lawyers, judges, policymakers to really understand these cases, to see the connections, to draw those lines from the past to the present. Because the fight for economic justice is ongoing, and it takes so many different forms, and we need to be equipped to recognize it wherever it appears.
I couldn't agree more. You mentioned human trafficking and debt bondage earlier. Were you thinking about the connections between Bailey and those modern forms of forced labor?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we often think of human trafficking as, you know, this faraway problem, something that happens in other countries. But the reality is it's happening right here in the United States. And often it involves these incredibly complex schemes of debt and coercion.
You're absolutely right. Human trafficking is a global issue, and it often hides in plain sight. Think about these cases where workers, often immigrants, they're lured to a new country with promises of good jobs, only to find themselves trapped in these exploitative situations where they're working off exorbitant debts to their traffickers. It's really a modern-day form of indentured servitude.
It's heartbreaking. It makes you realize that Bailey, while decided over 100 years ago, speaks to something very fundamental about human nature, that desire to exploit others for profit, and that willingness to use the law as a tool of oppression.
It's a stark reminder that we can't be complacent. The fight for justice requires this constant vigilance, and we need to be able to adapt our legal strategies to address these new and evolving forms of exploitation.
Okay, so I have to ask, how do you actually prove this kind of coercion in court? I mean, it's not always as straightforward as physical force or threats.
You're right. Coercion can be very subtle, very insidious, and difficult to prove. But there are strategies. You know, employment contracts, pay stubs, timekeeping records, those types of things can reveal patterns of exploitation. Witness testimony from workers who've experienced these conditions firsthand is crucial. But it takes a skilled lawyer who can connect the dots, who can see the bigger picture, and present a compelling narrative to the court.
I imagine it can be challenging to get workers to come forward, especially if they're afraid of retaliation or maybe deportation.
It's a huge challenge. Building trust, ensuring confidentiality are absolutely essential. We have to remember that the legal system itself can be very intimidating, especially for those who are already feeling vulnerable and marginalized.
It's not just about knowing the law. It's about understanding those social, economic, and psychological factors that contribute to these situations. It's about empathy, about seeing the human face of these legal issues.
Exactly. And that's what makes Bailey v. Alabama such a powerful case. It reminds us that legal precedents aren't just these abstract principles. They're rooted in real-life struggles in the fight for basic human dignity.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Bailey, what's the key takeaway you want our listeners to remember? What's the thread that connects this historical case to the challenges we face today?
The fight for freedom from forced labor is far from over. It demands constant vigilance, creative legal thinking, a deep understanding of how power can be used to exploit and oppress, but ultimately it's a fight worth having.
And it requires us to see the connections between these seemingly disparate issues, wage theft, human trafficking, debt bondage, and to recognize those common threads of coercion and exploitation that run through them.
Bailey v. Alabama stands as a powerful reminder that the law should be a tool for liberation, not for perpetuating systems of control. And as lawyers, we have a responsibility to wield that tool effectively to protect the vulnerable and to ensure that the promise of freedom is a reality for all.
This has been a really illuminating deep dive. Bailey's more than just a case. It's a call to action for all of us to be more aware, more engaged, and more committed to using our knowledge and our skills to fight for a more just and equitable world. Thanks for joining us.